Our passage of Scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you for Christ our Lord and the sacrifice that he gave in giving up himself to die on a cross for us. Help us, Father, today. Send your Spirit mightily upon us and help us realize the truth of this event, the truth of our sin, the truth of our redemption through his blood. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is your earliest memories of Easter? I know mine are bunnies and pastel Easter baskets hidden in the house, the great search trying to find them. Mine was blue and green and my sister's was pink and yellow. I knew that when I found hers, I had to leave it no matter what. That was not my chocolate. But I desperately wanted those eggs, those bunnies. I remember the passion I had trying to get the wrappers off. I wasn't very good at it. My sister could eat so many so much quicker. So I experimented with just sticking them in my mouth with the foil still on. It didn't work very well. It made a mess. So I don't recommend that. But later on, when I learned that Easter involved a brutal crucifixion, the juxtaposition of that with the bunnies and the pastel colors was incongruous with my mind. I couldn't understand it. It was so incongruous to the point of being offensive. How could a man's brutal, horrible, torturous death be represented by a bunny? Decked out in pastels, Easter, in the way it's presented, seemed weak, tacky, artificial, false, and ultimately impotent to save. Now, I know that those symbols often come from the idea of resurrection and new life. But how can you have something so painful whitewashed? We often sterilize the horror of death and trauma, the horror of truth in our lives. I was traveling with my mother. She's from Germany. And she took me to Munich. And we ended up visiting a concentration camp by the name of Dachau. They called it an experiment. An experiment in industrial murder. 200,000 people or more were housed at that camp. 32,000 of them died. When I showed up, there wasn't a single building left. No barbed wire, no fencing. It was all beautiful white marble platforms where all the buildings used to stood with little plaques of what was there. They called it a memorial park. It was completely sterilized. What does Christ's death mean to you? What does Christ's death mean to you? When we take a look at our story today, the piece of Scripture, we see three groups of people. The first one were the Jews. You can imagine what they were thinking. Just a week prior, they were out in the streets proclaiming Christ's entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! The King of the Jews! And then, as a crowd, they yelled, "Crucify! Crucify! Crucify!" There that day, they came probably for entertainment, to see this man that was a prophet who spent the last 3 years going about proclaiming the kingdom of God. They came and they mocked him, saying, "You're the king of the Jews. Help yourself." They looked up when he asked for a drink and said, "Maybe Elijah. Yeah, Elijah will come and take you down from the cross." They mocked. And yet, when they saw the character of that man hanging on a cross and the way he died, their mockery turned to shame. They lamented, realizing that they watched a truly innocent man's murder, one that they, in many ways, took part in. They left beating their chests, no longer entertained a day's revelry. Sadly, Matthew 27 records that the earth shook, rocks cracked open, broken and split in two, but the hearts of the Jews, the hearts of Israel, remained solid, cold stone. What is your reaction to Christ's death? The centurion that was there, you can imagine him wondering, why in the world did he ever get posted to such a remote position? A dusty, dirty, rebellious country, far from any noble Roman town. Why didn't he get to Ephesus or Colossae or some other wealthy, prominent area where he could prosper? But no, he goes to this rebel-ridden town of Jerusalem. And with all those craziness of the past week and the cheering of the crowds, he knew it wasn't going to be an easy day. Why did he draw lots to have to do the executions that day? I'm sure he had to go into work early and try to find more help, get more of the legions out there to control the crowds. He knew it wasn't going to be fun. Murderous rabble lot, he thought. They probably all should die. What good are they? None of them true Romans. They don't understand what we stand for. Yet, he gets there and watches the character of that man hanging on a cross and proclaims, "Surely this was a righteous man." Out of the mouth of a pagan, one who is blind, steeped in his paganism, he declares this man innocent, able to see through that Christ was an innocent man, able to see through the lies of the Jews who begged for his death. What a contrast. What a contrast between him and the Jews, that if they would have only opened their eyes and their hearts, would have seen their salvation hanging before them. What does Christ's death mean to you? That last group was the disciples. 3 years being with Christ, 3 years of hope, 3 years of hearing him proclaim the kingdom, and then just this past week, everybody cheering, "Finally, we've got it done. We're going to have the kingdom of God restored in our day. We're going to see it this week. Hosanna in the highest, the King of the Jews." And now it's gone so horribly wrong. He's going to die. We see him nailed there. And yet, this is no normal death. Darkness for 3 hours over all the land. The dead coming out of their graves. What is happening? Bewilderment. What's God doing? Clearly, an unnatural event. What could all this mean? They must have wondered. What is your reaction to Christ's death? What does Christ's death mean to you? They said that darkness was 3 hours long. 3 hours. Many people said, you know, that was just a solar eclipse. Well, I was able to experience a solar eclipse last year, May 20th, in Fallon, Nevada. And it was a total eclipse. First time in my life I was absolutely able to be in the place where the total eclipse occurred. And guess what? It never went dark. It was never dark. It had this weird orange glow, but we went outside and took pictures of it. We took pictures of the shadows of the trees because they were so weird. The trees still had shadows. But you can see in the shadows the fact that the moon was in front of the sun. It made this sort of thousands of little rings, little hoops of light, orange glow. The sun never failed. It lasted about 20 minutes, not 3 hours. There's no way that this was an eclipse. Not only that, it was in the midst of Passover. And if you understand the Jewish calendar, Passover occurs on a full moon. The moon was on the opposite side of what it ought to be. No way was it an eclipse. There are authors all over the world who love to write history. They wrote some of the most minute details of daily life. Every single event that occurred, none of them wrote of this event. It only occurred in Judea. Some people would think that that was odd, but I think it's more the miracle. If it was all across the world, it would make it look and seem like more of a natural phenomenon, the one that could be answered, but there was nothing natural to this. We cannot figure out the cause of the darkness, but we know its meaning. The darkness meant judgment. The judgment of God upon all our sins. This punishment that should have been ours, that should have been our own, was borne by Jesus and Jesus alone. As our substitute, he suffered the most intense agony and forsakenness that any man has ever endured. Calvary that day became hell. That was the darkness. The Savior on that cross descended into hell and bore for us all its horrors, bore it for us in our stead. How can we ever appreciate the enormity of Christ's suffering and death for us? How can we ever understand it and know the incredible loss and suffering he had? If we want to truly appreciate Easter and understand its meaning, we must first encounter the magnitude of our own sin and fully fathom the depth of Christ's suffering for us on the cross, the extent of his humiliation and pain, and how much he truly has loved us. I'll say that again. For us to truly understand the depth of God's love and passion for us, we have to understand his suffering for us. And the enormity of that suffering is based on the enormity and depth of our own sin. Our problem is we like to whitewash things that are ugly. We don't like to look at ourselves in the mirror and see things we do not wish to see. We cover them up. We change them. I do not like to look at the man in the mirror. And I definitely don't like to delve deep into the depths of my own heart and know my own sin. But until we have the confidence to do that, we will never truly understand how much God truly has loved us and sent his Son to die for us, to make him an atonement for our sins. And 2 Corinthians says it clear. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 John says it as well. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but he has loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus said it himself in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that one man laid down his life for his friends. That is what we need to understand and know the deep depth of Christ's passion for us. The pain, the suffering, the torment when he took that cup of wrath from his Father's hands and drank it for us. That's the meaning of Christ's death. And Cousin, the great hymn writer of the 19th century, understood it. And she wrote it well in a hymn called, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our Lord was laid on thee. Our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse was in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now a blessing's all for me. What is your reaction to Christ's death? What does it mean to you? He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Christ's death, our salvation, our redemption, our hope. Christ's death. I call you all now in this time of Lent to prepare your hearts for Easter. I wish our tradition was firmer in this. The Catholic faith has a very strong tradition in Lent, and yet the tradition has made it weak because they do it as a rote thing. But here I call you today. Look yourself in the mirror. Delve deep into your own hearts. Prepare your hearts. Seek out its depths. Come face to face with the sin within, the pride that we all have. Know it. Face it with the confidence that only Christ and his incredible act of love and self-sacrifice can bring. And know that you've been saved. Know that you've been redeemed. I remember speaking to a 7-year-old girl once, and she looked at me and she said, did Jesus have to die because of my sin? And I said, yes, he did. And she broke down and cried. And I wonder why. We can't as well have that same youth, that childlike innocence, and at this time of Easter, shed a tear for the sin and the pain that we caused our Lord? Do we have the courage to truly worship Christ this Easter? To abandon all our fear and face our sin and rejoice with our redemption? To see not only the depths, but also that Sunday rise to the heights of redemption and resurrection and salvation. To understand with passion the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. At 3 o'clock, there was another group of people. The priests were busy in the temple preparing the evening sacrifices, wondering about the foreboding darkness that's transpired over the city for the last 3 hours, the earthquakes, the cracking of rocks, wondering about this foreboding, but still dutifully working their jobs as priests. Then suddenly the curtain separated, ripped from the top to the bottom, opened up the Holy of Holies, the place where God's anger was, the place where only the high priest once a year could go, where they tied a rope to his foot, knowing that if there was anything wrong, he would die. And no one could save him. So they pulled him out with the rope. I can imagine these priests, the moment they see that curtain torn in two, run in fear and trembling. But no longer was that space full of the wrath of God. The very moment God's anger was appeased, the very moment was the moment of our redemption. And Hebrews says it so well. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened to us through the curtain, that is His body, which was torn in two, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What does Christ's death mean to you? Heaven has been opened to all who seek Him and take refuge there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise You for this incredible truth of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the misery, the pain, the suffering that He bore for us in our stead so that we would not have to. Help us, Father, to know that depth, to know the depth of Your love for us and the sacrifice that He has given. And help us rejoice in our redemption that He has wrought for us. In Jesus' name, amen.